105 Drive with Julian Clover. Cambridge 105.
The Unsigned Chart on Cambridge 105.
So on a Thursday night, as we always do, is to review the latest unsigned chart as revealed by Tim Willett on last night's New Music Generator programme. And what have we got? Well, as always, the chart is comprised entirely of local bands from in the round East Anglia, increasingly spreading our field outside of Cambridge on this. And really great to hear the unsigned artists sending their material forward to Tim. So we've got a new entry to play you. We'll do that first. It's by Gary Hellman, and it's called Breathe Slowly. Really is some good music around at the moment in the unsigned chart, and that is the new entry for this week, up for your vote. We'll tell you of how you can give Gary Hellman your support in a few moments' time. Breathe Slowly was the name of his track. We'll take a look now at the rest of the chart.
The top five records from Cambridge's hottest musicians, as voted for by you.
Number five, former number one on the chart, Three Patch Problem eventually. At four, Radar, Airstrip One. Alice Rayner, Fallen For You, is at number three, which means B-Music are at number two with The Forest. And number one is last week's new entry, Flaming June and Rumpelstiltskin.
This is the chart you've been voting for. The Unsigned Chart on 105 Drive.
What's precious to me, I'll hide it all away. You won't take what's precious to me. You won't take my world from me, I'll hide it all away. You won't take my world from me.
So from the new EP from Flaming June, that's Rumpelstiltskin. It's the number one this week in the Unsigned chart. So congratulations to Louise and the rest of the band for achieving that. If you want to put your vote for next week's Unsigned chart, this is how you do it.
The Unsigned chart on Cambridge 105.
You just need to visit our website. You'll find that at cambridge105.fm if you follow the links over the right-hand side of the page. And you can place your vote either for Louise and Flaming June or for any of the other artists. You'll hear music from all of those in the course of the week on Cambridge 105. On Monday, it may be Easter Monday, but I'll still be reporting for duty. And just after 6 o'clock, I'll give you that snapshot of of where the unsigned chart stands. And of course, Tim will count down the new chart on Wednesday night at just after 8 o'clock as part of the new music generator.
The unsigned chart on Cambridge 105.
Thursday night, it's our entertainment hour. We welcome Sky, as always. Most welcome, Sky.
Oh, thank you.
My pleasure. Also, Susan is here as well. We'll be talking about your book a little later on, but we'll introduce you now, just in case you want to interject into the,
okay,
into the movies.
Thank you.
So, Sky, what are we going to be talking about this week?
First release I'm going to talk about is Welcome to the Punch. It's cop versus criminal in this stylish British action movie starring James McAvoy and Mark Strong.
We hadn't been able to get anywhere near Stonewood for years.
So when you take him down this time, you take him down hard.
He's created a legend for himself.
Only lasting thing about Jacob Stonewood would be his prison sentence.
Last night, a man was picked up, suffering from a gunshot wound to the stomach. He's Jacob Stonewood's son.
If he thinks he can walk his son out, he's going to check the angles.
Can you just take a step back for a minute?
Max is an inch away from piecing all this together.
Maybe it's not all about Jacob Stonewood.
He'd written something on his hand. Punch 119.
Get down!
There we go.
There you are. Well, the synopsis for this, ex-criminal Jacob Stonewood is the sworn enemy of Detective Max Lewinsky. Lewinsky has been pursuing his nemesis for years, but has never taken him down. That is, until Stonewood's son is involved in a botched heist, which forces Stonewood to return to London from his Icelandic hideout. Lewinsky immediately spies an opportunity and sets out to arrest the man he's been after for so long. But events take an unexpected turn, revealing a deeper conspiracy that puts both of their lives in danger. Director of cult 2009 drama Shifty, Iran Creevy presents a visually arresting and dramatic thriller. Yeah, I would say that it was very dramatic. I thought it was very stylish. There's a lot of blues, a lot of greens, giving it a very particular aesthetic, a very urban environment to which it's set in. I enjoyed the roles. I thought Mark Strong's definitely the best actor in it.
He's a very good actor generally, isn't he? He's been, I was trying to remember the name of the series now. He was in a TV sort of thriller, shady, underworldy kind of thing as well.
Don't know, but he was in Kick-Ass last time I remember. He plays a lot of villains, to be honest, but in this he's got quite a human side to him. The script's a bit lacking. I think there's a lot more. The actors have to draw a lot more out of the script for the characters. So why I think Mark Strong was really good in this is he took, you know, a character who's not got much to him and really fleshed him out, gave him a lot more humanity, who's a criminal who only does what is necessary.
Well, I guess somebody like Mark Strong could have just turned down the script and said, no, that's not for me. So he would have obviously have seen something in there that he could develop and, as you've described, play with the character,
as
it were.
I mean, it is pretty much a straight cat and mouse story, but at some point along the line the conspiracy between what's going on forces the two, James McAvoy and Mark Strong, to meet up and join forces, and there's a lot of gunfights.
So presumably at that point it goes off in a different direction.
Yeah, there's a lot of gunfights and it's quite a bit of action. Some of the gunshots made me jump, actually. They just come out of nowhere, but I liked it. I mean, it's not gonna be like the greatest crime film ever, but definitely it's to say along the same lines as films like Collateral, Layer Cake, and probably more recently The Sweeney, actually. So but
how does this rate in the sort of the, because you mentioned several of them there, but compared to other British thrillers, of which we seem to get quite a little conveyor belt of them going at the moment, really.
Yeah, it's good. The British
you can do more than rom-coms. Rom-com gangster movie, that's clearly the next Richard Curtis project.
Definitely. Compared to what else is coming out from Britain, I think it's a good contender. So, yeah, if you're about Catch It, although it is actually finishing in Cambridge.
How long has it been on for here?
About a week. So
at some point, in all seriousness, we're going to have to explore the kind of movies that play in Cambridge and whether or not they're different to the country as a whole through the factors of the academic side and the students, which would presumably distort the characteristics.
Yeah,
compared
I'm sure
to other
there must be a factor in terms of the movies they choose to keep on, and of course also down to the money they make. So the ones that people go to see will make more money, thus they think, well, we'll keep these ones, we won't keep these. But being Easter holidays, there's a lot of new films coming out,
so that's going to be a factor here, it's being pushed out. Is there a chance that something like this might return, or is it better people to skedaddle down to the cinema tonight?
There are opportunities where, say, for example, even Skyfall, it had a long, long run. It was then taken away to make more room for other films coming in, new films, and then they brought it back for a couple of showings because it was still making money. But I don't think that's going to be the case with Welcome to the Punch.
Can
it's
I ask a
15.
Question?
Oh, yeah, sure.
How long was it? Was it a long movie?
It was 100 minutes, so okay, I think it was well-paced. I didn't get bored, really. Mm. So, yeah, I mean, the story could have been a bit better in places, but ultimately it didn't feel like it went on for too long.
So, this is your book is actually a crime novel, isn't it? So I'm just wondering how that would fit in with the sort of movie that Sky's described here.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I haven't seen the movie, but I'm just curious as to the length of time, because I think a lot of movies kind of overplay it by being too long.
Yeah,
and it can put people off. Yeah.
I agree.
Just curious.
But no, this one definitely it keeps its pace and it's at a decent length. So, and that's the main thing. When you go to cinema, you don't want to feel like it's a drag.
No,
so
exactly.
You get your punch and then you crawl back.
Fair enough.
Cool. Moving on.
Okay, yeah, let's move on. This is Jack the Giant Slayer is your next one. I feel I might know the plot line to this one.
Oh, you might.
Oh, we're playing the clip. Okay.
Oh, okay, sorry.
Let's hear the clip.
Fee, fi, fo, fum. Ask not whence the thunder comes. For between heaven and earth is a perilous place. Home to a fearsome giant race. Who hunger to conquer the mortals below. Waiting for the seeds of revenge to grow.
I saw your light and I'm lost.
What are you doing out in this nasty weather?
Your Highness.
These your books?
My father used to read that to me. I like a good adventure.
I'm looking for an adventure of my own.
What?
Isabel!
Am I dead?
Not just yet.
The legends are true.
Elmont, assemble a team of your best men.
Yes, sir.
Bring back my daughter.
Your Majesty, I want to volunteer.
What do you suppose is up there?
I never suppose. I simply prepare for everything.
Now, I'm wondering, does the giant have an Icelandic hideout as well?
No. Okay. They have their own plane entirely. This is a blend of the classic Jack the and the Beanstalk tale and Jack the Giant Killer, a similar tale from the 17th century about a boy who slays giants during King Arthur's reign. Jack the Giant Slayer tells a story of an ancient war that is reignited when a young farmhand unwittingly opens a gateway between our world and a fearsome race of giants. Unleashed on the earth for the first time in centuries, the giants strive to reclaim the land they once lost, forcing the young man, Jack, into the battle of his life to stop them. Fighting for a kingdom, its people, and the love of a brave princess, he comes face to face with the unstoppable warriors he thought only existed in legend, and gets the chance to become a legend himself. Yeah. Directed by Bryan Singer, who's done the first three X-Men films.
Of course,
Superman
yes.
Returns. So he's a popular choice, and this is definitely along the lines of the kinds of films he makes. It's also got, where is it? It's got Nicholas Hoult, Ewan McGregor, Stanley Tucci, Eleanor Tomlinson and Ian McShane. So a very good cast in that as well.
Lovejoy.
Yeah, indeed. He's in a lot of things these days.
I guess he is, really. He does quite sort of, it's always straddled like the UK and the US markets as well, hasn't it?
Ian McGregor, I quite liked in this. He's got quite a sort of a camp, suave turn. And Nicholas Hoult proving that he's a young actor coming up and being very, very likable as well. What to say? It's a decent fantasy film.
We've had a few of these fairy tale based ones, haven't we? In recent weeks, Hansel and Gretel is the one which most recent.
But yeah,
so how does this compare with that, and maybe some of the others?
Well, you've got also like Gulliver's Travels. You've got Snow White and the Huntsman. I like the Snow White and the Huntsman. I like the really dark take it had on that compared to, you know, the Disney version or Mirror Mirror. Hansel and Gretel, I didn't get the chance to watch, but I felt it looked very modernised, made into a big action film, because let's remember, it's about two children that find a sweet hut with a witch in it, where they've turned it into this big, they've grown up and they're taking down witches left, right and centre. So it's this one, I think, is more in keeping with the original story. There's some great sequences, great CGI of the giants. It's funny because there's a lot of fantasy violence, but it's not actually, you don't see anything. It's that kind of violence.
What rating has this been given?
It's a 12A. So
this could be sort of an Easter holiday treat for
slightly older
children.
Some peril, but yeah, it's definitely one that a broad range of people can go watch and enjoy. I was pleasantly surprised. I had sort of slightly lower expectations, and I watched it in 3D as well. The 3D was very good as well. So yeah, if you want to catch it, it's on at Cineworld tonight in 3D at 8:30, or tomorrow there's showings at 10:05, 12:30, 5:20. 10:50 and 8:20, and they're all free. 2D showings actually tomorrow, bar the 10:06 one, which is 3D. But it wouldn't make any difference watching it in 2D, as in terms of it's not filmed in a way that's like throwing stuff in your face deliberately. Or you can catch it at View. It's on at 6:20 tonight. Well, actually, you're going to have missed that one. There's one at 9:20, that's just 3D, or tomorrow 10:00, 3:20, 9:20, and 11:20.
Check local listings for full details.
That is the best way. So I check it out. Well, I did check it out, but you should check it out as well. And we've got lots of new films coming out this week. G.I. Joe Retaliation, sort of a reboot of sorts compared to the previous one. Got The Rock in it, Channing Tatum, and it's just bigger, more action. You've got Trance, the new Danny Boyle film, which looks very interesting, about an art heist that goes where it's a bit of psychedelic kind of mind play going on. You've got Finding Nemo 3D's making a comeback.
This is the previous Finding Nemo, but it's
we've got the sequel coming out hopefully in the next, you know, few months up to in this year.
Oh, this is very clever then, isn't it? Bringing that one forward.
They did similar with Monsters Inc. because we've got Monsters University coming out in the summer, so they've been showing they made Monsters Inc. in 3D as well and been showing that. You've also got The Croods on at the minute, a new prehistoric animated film from DreamWorks, which has been quite popular. And also you've got The Host, Stephanie Meyer's latest book being released, the one who did Twilight.
Oh, yes.
About aliens that
take
over.
That seems to have had sort of like a tremendous, quite a bit of a run-up, quite a few posters I've noticed of round and about the London Underground on my travels.
Yeah, so it's got a lot of push, it's got a lot of publicity, and will it do as well as Twilight?
Is there another sort of collection of films waiting in the wings after that?
Well, you got later on big films, got Star Trek, a sequel there. You got Iron Man 3. So there's a lot of big sequels.
There's a lot coming
out,
isn't there?
So I'm excited.
I'm excited too. And you're going on holiday in a couple of weeks, though, so you'll miss half of them.
So yes, I will.
Okay. Sky, thank you very much. We'll see you next week, though.
Yep.
We will. Okay. 24 minutes before 7:00 was Cambridge 105, 105 Drive with Julian. Through until 7 tonight, and I'm pleased to welcome my next guest, Susan Blenman, or S.J. Blenman, as it says on all of your emails. Is it said under the book covers as well?
Yes, it is, yeah. S.J. Blenman.
And the book, first of all, the first book is The Face Within, but you've got another book coming up very shortly. What's that one called?
It's called Tell Me in the Morning.
Now, the first one described, in your words here, fast-paced, racy, raunchy crime novel. I feel like asking, normally I'd ask an author, is it based on personal experience? I'm tempted to ask that again. But what attracted you to this particular genre?
Basically, I just wanted a book that for me as a reader, because I like to read a lot, I like a book to be fast-paced. I don't want to be struggling to get into it. I want something that takes me straight to the action and holds my attention throughout the book. So based on that, I wanted my book to be able to deliver exactly the same results. And so that's what kind of drove me to write that type of novel.
And you're sort of the people when you're sitting down and reading other people's work. Uh-huh. Who is it that you enjoy to read?
Well, it's wide and very varied. I like Martina Cole, people like James Herbert, I like Stephen King, I like Terry McMillan, I like Eric Jerome Dickey. So as you can imagine, it's very wide and very varied, but they generally all are fast-paced books, and they get you straight into the action.
And sort of a bang, and just goes straight.
Yeah, I don't want like a gentle journey. I just want to get straight to
so
it.
So that without giving too much away, mm-hmm. I guess we should really talk about the new book as rather than the older of the two. But give us a little outline as to sort of the plot line, without giving too much away.
Sure. Basically, it's based around two main characters, Simone Baxter and James Jameson. Simone's a very young, inexperienced woman who gets swept off her feet by this dashing American. And he, within 6 months, he's proposed to her and she's accepted. Her only reservation is that they haven't been intimate at all throughout this period. And the fact that she's young and inexperienced, she kind of just accepts this as maybe that's the reason, because she is inexperienced. So on the day of the wedding, he gets called back to the States on an emergency. And she ends up travelling to meet him because she's decided that, obviously, her life is with her husband and it's going to be in the States. So she travels without him and actually meets another American during the flight. And certain things happen during the flight. She disembarks and thinks to herself, OK, she's going to put that behind her, only to find that the person on the plane is quite significant in her husband's life. And that's
then it develops from there. Is there any overlap in characters between the two books?
No,
or did you start afresh?
Definitely. And completely different style of books. I mean, the first book is based in London and it's a crime novel, first and foremost. And the second book, you know, there's no crime. It's just literally about, you know, personalities and characters and secrets as well. There's lots of secrets within Tell Me in the Morning.
Mm. Interesting, I noticed, you know, you using your initials, is it on the publishing side of things? Is it one of these things where woman can't be going and writing a it seems ridiculous in 2013 saying such a thing.
I
know there is some feeling about that in the publishing world.
But it's true. I mean to be fair, I mean, for myself, I just wanted a little bit of, you know, something of myself left back. I didn't want all of me out there, if that makes sense. So I, you know, decided on S.J. Blenman. It is a family name. And just to give myself a little bit of anonymity, that's it. And to be honest with you, at first when I wrote it, I was kind of a bit nervous about putting out, because it is very racy. The opening chapters of The Face Within is very kind of explicit. And I think I just was a little bit nervous at first, because this was all before 50 Shades of Grey. Mm. So I was very nervous about it, and I thought to myself, well, let me stick with S.J. Blenman, because then that,
just
to hide a little bit.
But I'm presumably close friends and family.
Yeah, they all know. Yes. Yeah, exactly.
So what the other sort of interesting aspect of this is that you went along the e-publishing route. So when people want to pick up a copy of this particular book, well, they can pick it up, I guess, on an iPad or on a Kindle, but not in paperback.
Because what happened was, when I wrote it in 2011, I bought another book that was kind of a guide to getting yourself published, and followed all the steps. I've contacted 12 agents who could potentially represent the book, and in quick succession I had 12 rejections. I thought, okay, let me revisit the manuscript again, you know, dig deep, see if I can make any changes. And what I then did, I sent it out to 3 more, and of the 3 additional ones that I contacted, Aventura, an ebook publisher, came back and said they were interested in publishing my novel if I could clean it up a bit, was the word she used, Sandy Fisher. And I said, okay. So
Up a bit in terms of content?
Content, yep.
I'm slightly worried about as a journalist, I'm instantly thinking, I don't care about the explicitness. Typos, what has she done?
No, she meant the explicitness of it. So So, yeah, so what I did, I said, OK, I'd work on it for a week, but I was concerned that I didn't want to take away the story, because a lot of that was part of the story, the fact that this relationship happened very quickly. They were both from completely different backgrounds, the two main characters, and I wanted definitely to keep that something of that about the book still. So I worked on it for a week, took out what I could, the certain areas that she was obviously finding quite explicit, and sent it back to her, and she came back and said yes, she wanted to publish.
Okay, I won't ask you for numbers, but are you sort of happy, pleasantly surprised with what's come back?
Yeah, slowly but surely it's getting out there. I mean, the key is obviously to keep talking about it, you know, trying to get it out there to as many people as possible. And what's now happening is that, okay, so maybe, let's say 50 people have read it, they're now recommending it. So slowly but surely the numbers are growing.
This is the interesting thing, I guess, mm-hmm. particularly. Is it available through people like Amazon or other, I guess, online publishing
Amazon,
as well?
Yep, you know, Sony, you can get it on the iPad. You can, as you said, you can get it on the Kindle. You can get it at WH Smith's. I think they've got a Nook.
Yes. You remember this guy? I have seen it. There's a whole other issue, actually, talking about WH Smith's own own thing. It's like everybody has their own coffee maker these days as well.
Yeah, exactly.
But I guess the ability to recommend mm-hmm. to friends, mm-hmm. and that actually, you know, these sort of recommendations are actually often the best form of publicity, better than taking an ad in the Sunday Times or something.
Yeah, no, I agree. You know, and recommendation, I think, is the best way to go. I'd rather that any day of the week than somebody just picking it up and thinking, oh, that's not quite for me. I'd rather somebody say, oh, have you read this book? It's called The Face of In, or Tell Me in the Morning, and this is what it's about.
Mm. If I may interject,
yeah, go ahead, Sky.
What's your particular? Do you have a particular audience? Do you have someone you're actually aiming your story?
Not really. No. To be honest with you, when I wrote the first book, it was really about me and my sisters and my friends. When I wrote it, I was thinking they were my audience because they like the type of things that I like. And I thought, okay, you know, so this is a type of book I'd like to read, and I know they would like to read it. And then slowly but surely, what's happening is that people that I would never have expected to, A, read a book like that, or B, enjoy it, coming forward and saying, you know, Susan, that book was pretty good. When is your next one coming out? Yeah. So that is really encouraging. And and for me, to be honest with you, yes, it's great if I can get more women to read it, or more men, or just more readers. But I enjoy the writing. I enjoy the whole experience. And to be honest with you, regardless of where this goes, that won't stop. Yeah.
So what are you doing now? You have a day job as well.
I do.
So
I'm a human resources manager full time.
So you're carrying that on as well as the
I'm a wife,
writing.
I'm a mother. I'm a grandmother.
It's a busy business, isn't it?
It is busy. But to be honest, when you find something that you really love doing, you find the time to do it. You know, every sort of like spare moment that I have, I'm writing. Even on the journey here in the car, I'm writing. So it's a constant process, and it's one that I can't imagine I'll ever sort of tire of.
So you think you're going to this? Are you starting already on book number three?
I started already.
Okay. Yeah, what sort of genre is this one?
I'm not sure yet. It's a funny one, and I try and explain this as to how I create the characters, and it sounds stupid, but they kind of create themselves. You know, I'll start writing. I'll have a basic idea. I'll start writing, and then as it develops, the characters develop.
It sort of come along, and you kind of did you do the sort of thing where you sort of get halfway through and should go back and change something?
No.
Or do you just let it flow?
Generally just let it flow. Sometimes I have to go through and firm up a certain paragraph or a certain element, but generally another thing I can't do, even though I may be looking forward to writing a particular scene, I have to get to that scene first. I can't jump and then go back. It's got to be chapter by chapter, paragraph by paragraph.
And did you map things out beforehand?
Never.
Or just sort of like,
no.
Interesting, just that's the direction you want to go.
I know. And I've had comments back like, Susan, how did you get all these storylines together? Because in The Face of In, there's numerous storylines that all come together. All of the characters are linked. But you don't get a sense of that until sort of like midway to the end of the book. And none of that was mapped out. And to be honest with you, I'd write something and I'd almost think to myself, well, I don't know why I've just put that in there. And then later on, I've linked it back to, like, you know, chapter three or whatever.
So it's almost like you surprised yourself.
Yeah. And to be honest, I am pretty proud of my achievement. I'm not going to lie. And I still could pick up The Face Within, even though I kind of enjoy Tell Me in the Morning more, but I could pick up The Face Within today and enjoy and read it. So...
So the books are called Tell Me in the Morning and The Face Within. Mm-hmm. They are available on all good electronic retailers. Yeah. Can't favour any in particular. Susan, thank you very much for coming into Cambridge 105. Really good to
thank you. Thank you.
Good luck with the next one as well.
Thank you very much.